I'm Vicky. I'm an addict.
Hey, Vicky.
The speaker, the NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is a 12-step and 12 tradition in areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. There is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotic Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distance to support new groups. Speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our act of addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotic Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Vicky, I'm an addict again. First, I want to thank God for allowing me to be in the meeting and learn to love myself just for the day. Welcome to newcomer, anybody who's just coming back, and the in-between, and the old-timer, and the middle-timer, everybody. The gift. I really like topics, but I guess we all got a gift to just to be in this fellowship. I hate sharing at conventions. Y'all gotta forgive me. And on top of that, I'm sleepy. But when I was out there using, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I was wide awake. The gift. God has truly given me a lot of gifts, I must say. Start from, like, when I first got here. One of the main gifts he gave me is my children back, because through direct result of using, I lost them. Next Monday, that'd be 12 years ago. That's truly a gift for me, because I couldn't even get one day. I want to tell my sister and my mom that I love them, and thanks for, like, being here to support me. And that's a gift also, to, like, have family just travel with you. I just go to NA meetings with you to, like, support you. My mom been doing that since day one. That's truly a blessing, and I'm truly grateful for that. I used to live to use. I ain't no different than nobody in here. I did the same thing everybody else did. But I didn't say when I got here, I thought I was really unique. I thought I was different, because I ain't do some of those I nevers. And, like, by me coming here, I've learned, like, if I go back out there, I will. You know, like, today I don't really have a desire to use. I know using is still an option. But as long as I practice the spiritual principles of Narcotic Anonymous, I've got a better chance. And that's a gift from God, for real. God created this program, and I'm grateful for that. I don't ever want to feel the way I felt using. And, like, for the newcomer, you can feel the same way in here without the drug if you don't do some work. God is so good. I didn't come in here open-minded and all that. Like I said, I thought I was better than. Today, I don't feel like that. I'm who I am. You know what I'm saying? People probably look at me in all different kind of ways, but who cares? I'm me, and that's just the bottom line. When I got here, I remember being scared to, like, even to get up and get coffee. When I got here, I had low self-esteem. Today, I got self-esteem. You understand what I'm saying? When I got here, I wouldn't dare not get up here and raise my hand. I wouldn't even sit out there and raise my hand and share. Seriously, I was actually scared to death. I not only was caught up in a disease of addiction, but I was in a very crazy relationship. When I surrendered from using, I surrendered from that. I have three sons. I'm truly grateful for them. They play a big part in my recovery. They recovering kids. They don't come no more, but they know my process. They at an age now where God has truly blessed me, where I don't got to take them everywhere I go. And I say that because that is a gift. That is, because I remember being that single parent with three sons. I'm talking about stir steps. Got to do what I got to do. I remember when the state took my kids, it felt like it was the end of the world. And don't ask me why I'm getting emotional, but I am, because I remember that stuff like it was yesterday, and I don't ever, ever want to feel like that again in my life, or to put my sons through that. And I remember when they said they was giving them back, and I was like, I'm not ready for them. I didn't know how to be a parent. My mom did everything, for real. She, even when I was using the kids, me, feed me, they eat, wash clothes. I didn't know how to do none of that stuff. When I first moved in my first apartment, I was burning shit up. For real. And when I was using, I was around the corner cooking shit. Food cooking, I'm around the corner. You know, but like just for the day, like I'm a good ass cook. Thank you, God. You know, when like I got three healthy boys, very well-mannered, respectful sons. And like it's truly a gift that like people remember when I came here with them three little boys and like really struggled to like no end. And I, don't get me wrong, I still struggle today, but I don't take that on. I try to like just give it to God and like know that everything gonna be all right. You're not the first one, you're not gonna be the last one. But I have some balance now. I know I'll never have to use. I know it's like different things that I could do to like just stay on the path of recovery and to be the best parent that I can be. I've been a single parent for 16 years. My oldest son just turned 16. My kids was little when I got here. You know, and like just for the day, I don't have no complaints. And I say complaints because over the years, I had to go through a lot of things to grow through things. I got some experience, strength, and hope under my belt in a lot of areas of my life that I got to practice every day. Like I said, next month I have 12 years. What a damn, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm on some big girl shit now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like coming in a meeting, whining and complaining and not doing shit about it. That was me. I'm not coming in the meeting sharing about a felt relationship because I ain't in none. And that's a gift from God too. And I say that because some days it get real lonely, y'all. And I'm getting emotional because I got a lot of experience with like felt relationships to the point where even today I'm scared of getting one because I don't think I could take another hurt for real. So I just like give it to God, and whatever the situation might be in the long run, I know he got somebody for me. Long as I got my sons, I'm good for real. And when I say it get lonely, I'm not alone. I don't go out and look for a man because I never did. It's like they come to me, like I got, come get me on my forehead. Come get me and leave me, you know what I'm saying? But the difference with that today is I don't go with everybody who want me. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have to do that. I don't have to. I'm a very loving and caring person. Somebody go want me. You know, and like I'm sharing that because I remember my self-esteem was so low, it was like, it was me all the time. No, it ain't. I did some research. I take the part I played. You understand what I'm saying? But all that other stuff, it ain't mine. It ain't mine. And like, I'm not claiming it. And like, God be blessing me. God show me things now, like, whereas though before, I go in with closed eyes. Today, I go with my shit be saucers. They be wide open. Like, and I see it way before it happened. You know, like, I just get out the way. And I'm going to continue to do that. And I remember being around here where, like, I was going through certain things. And people judge you. They judge me. They made me feel worse than what I felt when I went in the meeting, Pete. After I shared, leaving the meeting. You understand what I'm saying? And, like, just for today, I don't care what I share, y'all. That's a gift from God. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to get open. Honest as I can get. I'm gonna help somebody else. I'm gonna help somebody. And like I'm glad I came to recovery when I came, because back then we used to all get along, we used to all have fun, we ain't had no jealous and envy and hate in us, and if we did, it wasn't that far. You know what I'm saying? So like I done built some friendships around here, and I like to hold on to them. You know, and like sometimes when you get close to people, they hurt you. And I'm the type of person, I take on a lot of stuff. I take on a lot of stuff, and like, it always got to be what I do. Stop doing that.
It ain't always you. Sure, y'all teach me look at the part I play in it, but everything is you, Vic? No, it's not. You know, like, so just for the day, I just, like, try to, like, get along with everybody and, like, don't be that mean Vic that I can be, because trust me, that shit only arrested. For real, you know, and I know who I am. So I've learned how, like, to control that. And then if I do react a certain way, I don't have to carry that. You got choices. You could go apologize for the part you played in, not in the meeting, raising your hand, talking about such and such and throwing daggers. That's for kids. Go straight to the source. You know, and like, I had to learn how to do that. And like, I'm not saying I'm perfect because I still fall short. But I'm way better than what I used to be. You know, a lot of people love me more than they hate me. I'm smiling more than I'm frowning. You know, like, I remember coming here and I had the mean mug on every day. Every day. You know, and like, around here, people love you until you learn to love yourself. And I say that when I introduce myself. I'm Vicky. I'm an addict. I'm learning to love myself just for the day. Because even with 11 years, it's still a struggle to, like, love me. Why? Because I'm still doing step work. I'm still, now I'm a sponsor. You understand what I'm saying? I'm still learning about me. And some days I still don't love me. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. If you pass that stage, how that shit work? You know, and like, just for the day, I just keep doing what I'm doing. I love me more than what I used to love me. I like the way I look today, the way I smell, the way I feel on the inside. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to dress up the outside no more. My insides is like matching, you know, like, that's a gift from God. Cause I did some work on myself. I used to think it was me. God ain't had nothing to do with it. Shit. I really thought it was me who got my kids back from the state. I really thought it was me who kept giving myself them chances over and over when they kept saying they go take your kids. I thought it was me when, I ain't get put out that apartment for not paying that rent. You understand what I'm saying? Even later on in my recovery, it ain't click with me right away. For real, it didn't. I had a substantial amount of clean time before I start, like, practicing step one and two. I was a procrastinator. I started step work late because I wanted to be cute and wear them tight-ass jeans y'all used to talk about. And cuss people out. What else? I can go on and on. You know what I'm saying? And like, just for the day, that's not who I am and that's not who I want to be. It really ain't. I want to be, treat people the way they treat me. You know, and like, some days that shit hard as hell. Oh my God. It really is hard as hell to, like, really practice humbleness. It is. And I ain't even at that step yet. But we live the steps way before we do them. We learn how to, like, do step work before we even get it. We read the same stuff in every meeting. We hear the same stuff in every meeting. I'm talking about the literature. So one way or the other, either you go do the step work, how they say, you go grow or you go. If you don't want to hear it, you're going to hear it if you're in a meeting. You know, like, just for the day, I'm grateful God has truly blessed me to, like, even have a new way of life, a second chance. Not second, a fifth and sixth and seventh chance, you know, because I was a piece of work when it came to, like, using, and I'm quite sure we are. But my story might be a little different with how things ended at the end of the road and all that, but we all the same. We all the same. We all did the same stuff to get high. And if I'm not careful, I can go right back out there and do the same shit and more. God is good. I don't want to be rambling, but for some reason, I think I'm finished, and it's okay, you know what I'm saying? And one more, no, I ain't finished. I got something else to share. One more thing. For real, because I need to share the blessings that God give me. Nobody can't take them away. It took me a long time to get that, too. You know what I'm saying? What he give me, nobody can't take. And I'm grateful for that because when I think I'm doing bad, how about my kids remind me you're doing good? For real. And God. When I look around and, like, take the clutter out and the confusion and the my will, and I look around, I'm talking about my house, what I have, and I ain't talking about material. For real. I got the same furniture I had when I moved in them damn projects. Okay? I'm talking about spirit and blessings. Even when I don't really think he there helping me. Because I struggled for a long time. I can't see God. I can't feel him. I can't touch him. That's a struggle when you're going through certain situations. But through coming through this program, I learned to, like, be open. Open your eyes. And for one, my kids is just looking at them now from when they was little. That's a blessing. I got my kids back in 18 months, y'all. And I remember being in the meetings every damn day crying. I want my kids back. Crying. Y'all kept saying, hold on. Hold on to what? I ain't have a connection with God then. For real. I ain't really listening to meetings. You understand what I'm saying? But y'all kept saying, hold on. Keep coming back. People helped me with my kids in the meeting. I'm talking about being a single parent with three kids, trying to raise them even now, that shit hard as hell. I'm talking about my 16-year-old son at the age where he want to do shit now. I'm not a man. I do the best I could do. You sexually active, please use a condom. I don't know how to, like, my way would be don't do nothing. I don't want you to. I want my kids to say little so I can have a sense of control. And they not. They growing up. It's hard. For real. And I'm grateful because I got good kids, in spite of my oldest son with his little ways. He ain't standing on the corner. He ain't in no game. He ain't getting good grades, but he ain't doing certain things. You understand what I'm saying? And, like, I need to pat myself on the back and say thank you, Father, for, like, helping me to, like, just guide them and help them. And don't get me wrong, it ain't peaches and cream every day. I'm not the best parent because I cuss my kids out. In a heartbeat. You understand what I'm saying? I'll cuss them, don't I? Cuss them out. Like they men, and sometimes I gotta remember they kids. It's a way to talk to kids to get through to them. You don't gotta holler and scream, get yourself a damn heart attack or high blood pressure and aneurysms and shit. And sometimes they helping me now, because see, the kids start helping you. Yeah, my oldest son be like, why are you hollering? But he just like me, because when he say it, he hollering. But that's learned behavior. That he learned that from me. This how we communicate. Sit your ass down. My little son cuss. He learned it from me. He sound just like me. So now that I'm aware of that, I'm trying to like change it. But it's hard. I hear somebody say a woman can't raise sons. Shit, that's a gift because I've been doing it. For real. And my son's taller than me, but I'll kick their ass. See, I stand on the chair. My mom gave me that remedy. Stand on the chair and get them. But I don't have to because they not disrespectful to that point. Actually, me and my sons have sometimes I think they think I'm their sister. That's how close we are. We got a bond. You understand what I'm saying? But they know when to bring it down. They respect me. You know, we're like, that's another reason I try like to not get in relationships, because I'm trying to do some shit right now. For real. I don't take men around my kids no more. And see, today is 2007. Men don't want to hear that shit. Bitch, I can't come over? No, you can't. I have sons. I don't want to expose them to that today and next week is over. That's my story. I don't want you spending the night and you got to leave before the sun come up. Because you either got to go home to your woman or I don't want my kids to see you. We're going to talk about my part. Not for instant gratification. Why? Because I want a fucking commitment. I don't want no more lay and play. That take me places I don't want to be. And I'm aware of that today. So I surrender. Trust me, I've been here 11 years, and 9 of those years I went through a struggle that taught me some stuff like know when to let go. Let go. God got you. You know, like my son, one of my sons don't want me to have no man anyway. He's 6'4", he's 15. Mama got knees. So how about I respect my kids? If I want to creep or play, I do it outside the house. Because they going to look at you sideways anyway. They going to intimidate you, and you ain't going to want to come over no more anyway. Because they boys. I'm their mom. They protective. And I had to learn that and look at that. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. Your sons love you. They seen you hurt. They seen you in that fetal position. They seen you go back and forth over and over again. When you going to stop? And I ain't talking about sleeping around. I'm talking about one person. That's insane. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Not today. I've been surrendered from that for almost a year now. I remember sharing at the convention 2 years ago, Levine. That was my story. Loving you, loving you and losing me. Loving you and losing me. And I was living in it. Living in the serenity, in the surrender. Not completely let go. But it's it ain't no fairy tale shit at the end, because once I shared at the convention, I had 18 months clean, and a month after the convention, I picked up. Again, not the drug. Mm-hmm. See, I need to break it down. We don't just use drugs around here. We start doing some other shit. It's consequences behind stuff. You think you got to use to be mentally insane? Hell no. If you dealt with the man I dealt with, you'd be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Maybe that's what's wrong with me, child.
Woo! No, I like to have fun. That's just who I am. I got personality. You know what I'm saying? And the men around here, I ain't slept with none of them, and they love me to death. I flirt with them. I messed on them. I lock in them all the time. But it's in fun. He know I ain't doing nothing. If you listen to my story, you would know too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, God just been good, man. I don't ever want to give up this program. And I'm going to say it again. I can't believe I have 12 years. My little son, 12. That's how I know when my anniversary coming up. When the state took my kids, my baby was 4 months. I missed all that. The change of pampers, late night feedings, even though when I had the other kids I was using, I didn't do that. I remember letting the bottle burn, and I woke up, the fire engines was banging on my door. That's a gift that we even still here. That's a silent killer. You sleep, it's fire and smoke. You know, we're like, just for the day, we don't have to live like that. None of us, not just me. Every night I make sure my soul's off. Candles blew out, and I don't know if y'all heard, but them 8 kids that died in that fire, that thing did something to me. For real, I read that, and I'm talking about getting them emotions and them feelings back after you've been here for a while. You ain't even got to know them. We talking about babies. And I thought it was normal that I wasn't feeding my kids. I thought it was normal that they was wearing dirty clothes. I thought it was normal that I could leave them in the house at the age of 1 and 2 and 2 months. I'm going to just go cop real quick. Real quick, turn to the next morning. I remember my mom taking me to the church, holy water, and I ain't ready to surrender. I left the church and went to cop. I thought I was crazy. I didn't know I had a disease. We're responsible for our recovery, but we ain't responsible for our disease. So that lets me know today I'm in recovery with 11 years. You got to do some shit. You can't just come around here and think people go wait on you hand and foot. You want to get to a meeting, nobody want to give you nothing, get a bus. Catch a cab. And that's my experience. I did it with 3 kids. A 3-wheeler stroller. Had 4, but it only had 3 left when I got here. What? But we made some meetings. And then when I graduated and got a little stuff through staying clean and God giving his gifts to me, gave me my kids back, gave me my place. I've been on my own ever since, and I don't look back. So what I live in the projects is mine. Right now, that's what God wants for me. When I'm ready to step out and do the footwork, because I ain't did it yet, and move that fear out the way, and trust and believe, turn it over, I'll get a house one thing at a time. For me, because I complicate stuff. God just blessed me with a minivan. I ain't had no heat forever. Window, that car was busted. I used to go pick my mom up. She said, girl, I heard you way before you turned the corner. Window was broke. Tissue was in it to hold it up. Heat was broke. But God kept blessing me with that car. Every time it died, I'm telling you, that car held on for 2.5 years. I paid $200 for it. A 1987 Chevy. It was freezing. I had a comforter in there. Freezing. Feel like my fingertips was going, but I kept driving it. I had to take my kids to school. What I'm going to do? Be grateful. It's coming. People talked about it. I shared in the meeting, I don't have no heat in my car. People who wanted rides when I had heat said, no, I'm good. That's what they do around here. They make you feel some kind of way. But you ride a bike in fucking snow. But you don't want to ride in my car with no heat. Get under the damn cover. That's what they do around here. Instead of picking you up and giving you the hope, some people shoot you down and leave you there. But I thank God I built the foundation. I thank God I got a God. And not, how they say it, you people. But it's a lot of people around here that didn't shoot me down. It's a lot of people said, girl, God will bless you, that loud ass car. You know what I mean? That car will not die. I did not think it was going to last no 2.5 years. Even towards the end of the road, the damn radiator froze up. The mechanic in the fellowship, he got that shit working again. You don't find a radiator that freeze up when you ain't got to put a whole lot of money into it. They can get a new car. I couldn't afford it. I went through a struggle for months. For real. He said, I could fix your car, but you ain't going to have no heat. I said, fix it because I need it. I got a 94, it ain't brand new, but it's mine. It's a blessing God gave me. It was a cute little gift, too. You know what I mean? It got heat. It got radio. I ain't had no radio either. It got heat, radio, and I got AC, and I got a sunroof. Damn. Thank you, Father. It's little stuff that's going on with it, but when you buy a car, I don't care if it's brand new. My window won't roll up all the way. I'm like, oh hell no, I just went through this. Didn't I tell you that? I just went through this. Went back to the people who gave me, I bought the car. They told me, well, we might have to charge you. Charge me to fix my window, and I just gave you such and such amount of money. I practiced that one. I'm powerless. I ain't giving them no more money. The mechanic and the fellowship go fix it for what I can afford. Either that or my brother-in-law. Matter of fact, I got an appointment with him tomorrow to get that window fixed. I'm big, but I be freezing. I said big, not fat. And I need to say that because I struggle. I'm telling y'all. For people who don't know me, my self-esteem was under the ground. I ain't never had no waistline, so what the fuck? Never had little titties. It is what it is. But I'm a big sexy woman. Trust me, y'all ain't seen me in that fashion show last night. You seen me. Okay? I'm sloppy. I'm unique in my own way. Who the hell wear I am who I am. And people around here say shit about this too. Girl, what you do? Wearing it, you jealous? Yeah. I am who I am, and I like who I am today. And nobody ain't gonna take that away from me ever, ever again. For real, I'm the only one could take that away. When I allow people to take me places I don't want to be. No, God gave me that gift, Cheryl, to like really just like let people live, get into me, be there for my sponsees. I remember being a sponsor in early recovery. I was like a mother. You better do that. I had it twisted. But through step work, my sponsor sponsoring me, I learned how to sponsor them. I can't force nobody to do no step work. I can't do none of that. And that's what I was doing in the beginning. You need to go to this meeting. You need to do this. No, they need to take one day at a time and let them get what you got. People ain't forced me. Shit, I was crazy as hell. This program is good. Pete, my time up. Because my jaw's tired now. For real, now I'm so sleepy. But I want to thank y'all for coming out to hear me. I'm not being self-centered. Thank y'all for coming to support me and share. And I say me, I didn't know none of y'all was coming, but that's what we do. We come support people who share. You ain't even got to know them. That's how you get to know them, because I might have shared something somebody needed to hear tonight. If you got a cold car, trust me, it's coming. Trust me. You know what I'm saying? It's coming. Thanks for letting me share.
Next speaker is LaVon.
Hey, Pat, my name is LaVon. I'm an addict.
Hey, LaVon.
I'm clean by God's grace and the program of Narcotics Anonymous. First of all, I'd like to thank God for everything. You know what I mean? The good, the bad, the indifference. You know what I mean? Things I don't know about, things yet to come, and things that have happened. Because all that has played a part in who I am today. Topic, the gift. I need to share, like, my story, for real, to let you know why this program is such a gift to an addict like me. See, I'm an addict, right, who in the beginning before, like the disease of addiction destroyed my life, thought that I was above everything and everybody. Such because, like, I was a singer, musician, I wore some nice little clothes, I was singing all across the East Coast, and I was the kind of addict, right, that looked down on other people because I had a little bit of something in the beginning, right? Because, like, my addiction started a long time ago, right? But I couldn't see, like, the horrors of addiction in the beginning because, like, I don't know about anybody else. Until I met crack, right, I thought I was okay. I thought I was okay because I was singing right, and like I was sharing with Daryl like how like I used to like smoke both. And I don't know how I thought I was okay smoking that shit. Because like when I go on stage, right, I would smoke this shit, right? And I thought like it made me perform a little bit better. Because I used to smoke it, right, before a show, and I go on stage, right, and after the show, I come off the stage, and people say, man, damn, he was good on stage last night. Even though I don't remember none of that shit. But I said, damn, I was? So the next night that we do a show, I won't smoke two because I was good last night, but one, I got to be great with two. And it kept going like that for a period of time. You know what I mean? It became like a crutch. Because like, for real, like, I need to share, like, I'm a kind of addict, like, who is like, really, in the beginning, shy to be in front of a lot of people to perform. I thought I couldn't perform in front of you without the influence of something. Because low self-esteem was there, but I didn't notice it at the time. I didn't know that that's what it was, right? So I would get high to make me not think about nothing or nobody. And I could just do my thing. And boy, look, did I do my thing. Right? Until, like, I met some people who said, look, you talking to us and saying you don't remember what you did last night, right? We got something else that you can get high off and remember everything you did. See, because I don't know about nobody else, right? I had friends, right? Well, they wasn't friends. I thought they was friends at the time. Today I know that they lied to me. They lied to me. They told me, right, if you smoke this, you're going to be all right. It'll make you feel good and you can remember shit. They didn't tell me when you smoke this, right, that you was going to go to abandoned buildings. Your career was going to immediately come to a screeching halt. That you wasn't going to wash your ass no more. A meal was out of the question because you had to spend money to get it. They didn't tell me none of that. They just said, you smoke this, you're going to be all right. So like I was sharing with my friends, right, like how I would get high, right? And in the beginning, it was all right because you know how when you first start smoking it, you don't really get that, well, I got the habit. I thought I could control it. I seen people who had used it before, and now I had it in my mind for some odd reason that shit ain't gonna happen to me. That can't happen to me. If I get bad as them, I ain't see myself getting bad as them. I was unique. So what happened along the way, like a funny thing happens along the way, that weekend thing, right, started to be constant. You know what I mean? First it was Saturday, because that's when my shows usually was on a Saturday night. Then it was Friday, Saturday. Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Then fuck, to do it all week. And I would stop taking care of myself. I'm talking about, you heard me share in the beginning, like how I used to pat myself about looking good, present myself in a nice fashion. It became to where I would be up all night, all day, and then go try to do a show that night. So you know what I looked like when I went on stage. It came to a point, right, where the band members started looking at me and said, something ain't right with him. He just ain't taking care of himself anymore. So they would tell, they unanimously took a vote and said, your services is no longer needed. And I shared with my friends, like coming down here, like how that really emotionally rock my world, right? Because I need to share, like, singing and performing was my everything at this time. But the disease didn't care nothing about that. It gave me more time to go smoke and wallow in my self-pity. Because I have a disease that told me that, okay, you ain't got that no more, but you got me. I'm your friend. You can lean on me. I will take care of you. And I immediately went downhill. I'm talking about from being on stage to an abandoned building. I'm talking about from being somebody to becoming underneath animalistic level.
And I'm sharing this to let you know, like, look, I didn't know at this time that God had a plan. I didn't know at this time that God had a plan, right? Because I'm a firm believer that nothing happens by osmosis. Everything that has happened in my life was supposed to happen. Because, like I said, I looked down on people and, like, I didn't respect people most of the time. You know what I mean? But God had a reconstruction going on in my life that I couldn't see at that time. So, like, I need to share, like, how when God seemed fit, right, to take me out of the storm and set my feet in Narcotics Anonymous, right, because I always share that, like, I'm not here because I decided one day that I was going to stop smoking and make a meeting. If that's your story, that wasn't mine. I was rescued. Because I'm going to tell you, like, look, this is how I find up in Narcotics Anonymous. I was on the street with people doing everything. I'm talking about they selling drugs over here, they shooting crap over here, they smoking right there, and the police, for some odd reason, came up on the porch and got me. Where I was just standing, doing nothing. In the beginning, right, I didn't see it as a blessing. I want, why are you messing with me? Can't you see what's going on? Why y'all grabbing me? But I didn't know at that moment, right, like I said, that I was being rescued. We're talking about a gift. I'm talking about a gift. This is a gift that God was doing something for me that I would not have done for myself. I'm talking about he was giving me something that these individuals out here were still suffering with, and he picked me. I couldn't see it at that time that it was a gift. I couldn't see it at that time that, you know what I mean, like, it was a blessing that I was being rescued instead of arrested. Because that was the last day that I used. And it's like, it's ironic, right, that I'm sharing here today, right, because my anniversary is Monday. Right? It's Monday, right? So I'm talking about almost 15 years ago, at this time, I was in a cocaine stupor doing some of everything. God seen in his intimate mercy to pick me to get some help. Because we all know there's a lot of people who need this thing. But this is for some people who want it. Right? And God chose me out of all that crowd that was on the street at that time. I didn't see it as a blessing. Our literature talks about, right, we sometimes can't see a crisis as a gift. I'm talking about going through pain and all that kind of stuff. They are really gifts, right? But I couldn't see it at the time, right? But God was doing something for me right then, like I said, that I wouldn't have done for myself. Because I was on a destructive mission at this time, right? And I know, like, that if he hadn't rescued me when he rescued me, that I would have been dead today. So I'm talking about going from being somebody singing on the stage to going to New York a couple days before I got arrested on the 12th floor, sticking up a drug dealer, getting away with it, and thinking, look, this might be a good idea to go back and do it again. God knew what he was doing. The next time, I might not have been lucky enough to get out. So he knew what he was doing. I couldn't see it at the time. I'm telling you, I'm like, why me? Why are you picking me when all these people out here doing what they doing? And I'm just standing here minding my business. With a pocket full of drugs. I didn't share that part. But I didn't see it at that time that he was doing something for me, right, that I would not do for myself. And I need to share, right, like how when I got here, I thought that only thing I needed to do was just stop using drugs. Our literature talks about staying clean must come first. I ran with that. I ain't using, but I forgot that once I put the drug down, I still was left with me. I'm talking about reading some literature, because when I came around, right, people were reading literature. And like I heard some people sharing earlier today, right, how, like, I wanted to sound like some of the people that I heard sharing. So I read some literature. They said you couldn't work me share on steps unless you done with a sponsor. So, okay, I did some steps with a sponsor. So now I can share. But I need to share that I was a double agent. I was sharing one way here. It wasn't taking none of that out there. I'm talking about good sharing addict in the meeting, creeping at night. I'm talking about I picked up some behaviors, right? And I need to share this too, because I had picked up some behaviors that I did not do using. Tricking. I didn't trick when I was using. I did that junk in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Yes. I'm sharing my story. Why? Because when I was using, I had to give you something. I wasn't getting up nothing. I was greedy. I had good intention. We can go to the room and whatever. And you would say something like, let's take a hit first. Once you take that hit, once I take that hit, now you got to go. Because now I think you're stealing from me. You're in my pocket. So tricking wasn't one of my things that I did in the room. I mean, I did. It was only when I came in here that I displayed those behaviors. And I need to share, right, like, those behaviors took a long time for me to get rid of. I'm talking about multiples of years creeping. Good sharing ass, but still not living this stuff. But thank God for like the information. Once you know, you can't go back to not knowing. Once you start doing this stuff, right, and after a while, what starts to happen for an act like me is that after a while, my spirit wasn't feeling right anymore. As I'm doing what I'm doing, then I'm looking at the individual's face after a while, it didn't feel right in my spirit anymore. I'm coming in here telling y'all I'm doing all this and I'm living all this, and y'all giving me claps and applause. And I'm living like a double agent. Secret agent man. Two people in one life. And it started not to feel good.
started not to feel good. My conscience started to beat me up. But it was all in the plan. Literature talks about when we are beaten, we become willing. And I'm not just talking about with just the drugs. I'm talking about in any area. First, I got to recognize first that there's a problem. Then I got to accept that there's a problem. Then I can do something about it. Stop wanting to live like that. But my mind, sometimes, I'm talking about here, today, if I'm not careful, I can still display those behaviors. I'm talking about, because right now, right, I'm in a state, right, where just like recently, a little while back, I decided, right, that it feels like a good idea to live this thing more so than just talking. It ain't about me trying to impress anybody anymore with what I know. It ain't about me trying to beat you up with the literature anymore. It ain't about me trying to act like I'm something that I ain't. Only thing I want right now, and I asked God a while back, right, to give me some freedom. You ever looked in the mirror, right, and look at it and say, I'm sick of you. I ain't talking about nobody. I looked in the mirror and said, I'm sick of you. Talking about myself. I'm sick of living the way you living. You got some tools. Use them, fool. Because self-destruct, right, without using drugs. I'm talking about living like an active addiction without using. I'm talking about I ask God for some freedom. And I ask him, right, please take anything that's hindering me or messing with my spirit, take it from me. God got a sense of humor. You need to be careful what you pray for. Because God's will don't always feel good. Because he started removing some things, right? Not some of that stuff that I thought he was going to remove. He started removing some stuff that I wanted. It's one thing, right, to like stand God's will, right, and say, I'm okay with this. When you're removing stuff that you don't, okay, I can get rid of this. But what about when it's time to let some stuff go that you really love, but it's really messing with your spirit? The third step says the proof is shown in the way we live. That don't mean what I'm wearing. That don't mean what I'm driving. That don't mean none of that. It means what do I do when the shit hit the fan? Do I run back to old behaviors? Or do I live with spiritual principles? I've been living with spiritual principles. I've been letting God's will do for me some things that I won't do for myself. And in that course, he has been removing some people. I'm talking about people that I thought was close to me. I'm talking about people that I wanted in my life, but they're not healthy for me. He has been removing them. But it's okay. God has taken me somewhere, right? And I'm not afraid to go. I'm not afraid to go. I'm going where he wants me to go. Going where he wants me to go. Even when I don't want to. And it's ironic, right, that when you trying to do some things, right, God gives you signs. He gives you signs. And like, we went to eat today, right? I need to share this, right? Because this is ironic, right? Treasure what you have. This is came out of a fortune cookie that we ate today, right? And it said the gift. God is doing his thing. He's doing his thing. Why? Because I got out of the way. I got out of the way and I allowed him to do some things for me. And like,
And it's all through this process of recovery. Thanks for allowing me to share.